coming back to the question of a Trump 2.0 presidency, while we wait for the key personnel to be appointed, one thing that Mr. Trump has been very consistent about is that of high tariffs, including a 10 to 20% tariffs on all foreign imports, as well as 60%, up to 60% or more for China imports. What would be the implications for our part of the world when it comes to this? And secondly, may I ask you to speak on IPEF? He has said that that would be dead on day one if he's elected. Again, what would be the implications for regional countries, including Singapore? Thanks.
Certainly, when there are tariffs applied and countries, not just America, even now Europe and other countries have been applying tariffs for fear of Chinese products overwhelming their market, particularly around electric cars. So we are concerned in a world where there are more and more frictions to trade, because trade is three times our GDP. We are an open economy. We are a trading economy. We would be concerned in a world where there are more and more frictions to trade overall. There may be a limited role for countries to apply tariffs, but it ought to be ideally applied within a proper framework. And that's why we go back to if there are issues, if there are disputes around trade, we think, from Singapore's point of view, a better way would be to revamp and strengthen the WTO. So while it's getting harder and harder to get countries to support this agenda, even set aside the new administration, even with the previous or the current U.S. administration under Mr. Biden, it's not been easy to put this on the agenda, but we will keep on trying, and we will work with like-minded countries to see how we can strengthen the WTO, have a better framework for continued trade and investments to take place amongst countries. Where it is difficult to do it at the global level, we can still do it at the regional level. And that's why we should also, and we are, doing whatever we can to do more around ASEAN and other regional forums. And increasingly, it's not just about trade in goods, which we already have largely barrier-free, but we are talking about non-tariff barriers, how we can reduce further. We're talking about services. We're talking also about data flows, because increasingly a lot of business is done, not just goods and services, but digital data flows. So we want to encourage more seamless flows in all of that, in all of these areas. And if we are unable to do that at the international level through the WTO, certainly we will do it bilaterally with like-minded countries, and we will do it at regional forums. But again, where it comes back to US and Singapore, we have an FTA with them. It's this year the 20th anniversary of the FTA. It's a gold standard. And in fact, across both sides of the house in the US, bipartisan support for the FTA, they all recognize that it is a gold standard FTA, which has benefited Singapore, but certainly benefited America and created many good jobs for Americans. So on that front, we are hopeful that we can, with the new administration, continue to work together. You had some other question around
the IPEF.
Again, depends on what these are actions that the new administration may take, but we have been consistently advocating for stronger American presence in this part of the world. The American security umbrella remains relevant for Southeast Asia because that provides stability for the region. It provides a framework for countries in Southeast Asia to cooperate and to peacefully compete with one another. I think more and more Americans are asking, not just this administration, but generally over time, more and more Americans are asking, why does America have to bear the cost of these international responsibilities, of upholding the international system? And they feel that if we have to bear the cost of being the international policeman, but we are not seeing the benefits. And that's something that comes up in American politics constantly. And I'm sure that those voices will continue to grow. We understand that, and that's why we do not take this for granted. That's why we lean forward to support America's security presence in this part of the world. We are not an ally, but we are a major security cooperation partner. We lean forward to support America's deployment of its logistics, its rotational deployment of troops in this part of the world. But beyond security, we would like to see more American economic engagement in Southeast Asia. Up to now, America remains the largest source of foreign direct investments in Southeast Asia, even more than China. But American trade lags behind China. And I think there's still a lot more that US MNCs can do and would be happy to do in Southeast Asia in both trade and investments. We want to facilitate that because we think it's good for the region, it's good for Southeast Asia to be an open, inclusive region where we can engage not only China, which is, of course, nearest to us and we have close links with economically, but also with America, which is a Pacific power, and it's important that they remain engaged in this part of the world.